Welcome to the flagship podcast from Talking Town. Today, we discuss Ipswich Town 3, Portsmouth 2. An absolute exhilarating game of will we, won't we? And we did in the end. As always, you'll hear from fans of ITFC, so passionate language, passionate opinions are incoming. Enjoy. Hello again, my friends, and you are my friends, and welcome to your Sunday flagship edition of Talking Town, the podcast for fans, by fans, the media platform for fans, by fans. And I'm just laughing at the start of the show because Ian Davis, to be fair, I think this is the best episode of the season. Ian, you made me chuckle. Well done, sir. How are we all then? So, as an adult, life is one continuous kick in the nuts. So we look to our football team to make life just a little bit better. And of course, they did yesterday. A 5-goal thriller, 2 penalties in one game, all for the same team. It's not often. In fact, I'd like to see a stat. When the last time that actually happened? Were they penalties for you? Obviously, the referee, they were. They were both given. They were both converted by Colby Bishop. Cruncher did warn us about bashing that Bishop on Friday evening, but he converted too. But, boys, they will not be denied. And again, they came back. Wesley Burns getting his goal. And if you've not seen us, it's a Portsmouth vlog. I don't know who it is by, so I apologise for not plugging you. But it's almost kind of sweet because the cross gets a little ripple of applause and then it ends up in their net. And it made me laugh anyway. It made me quite happy. But here we are. We're live on a Sunday afternoon. For those that are new to the platform, for those that need reminding, for those that are still nursing hangovers, courtesy of celebrating pints and points last night, we will discuss yesterday's game. There'll be a live chat, as you can already see. There'll be a live link to get involved. And if you're watching on catch up, do leave a comment in the YouTube section. Or if you're listening on any audio podcast platform, you'll find us. Leave a 5-star review and let us know how much you love the show. Look at a couple of comments. Early does, there's lots of them because I was running a little bit late. Apologies. Lewis Robertson. People will say he didn't have his best game because he wasn't spraying passes. But Pompey closed him and Morsi down quickly. And it was a real battle that both Ellie and SM came out on top. Davis, man of the match for Lewis. Carl Brooks, here's one for you. As with not a penalty taker this season, who would you put on pens? Love that question. I will keep it towards the back end of the show. I'll ask Cruncher first of all. Who would you put on pens, Mr. Cruncher, when I bring you into the show? Philip Blundell, looking forward to the next 4, hopefully 12 from 12 to come. Positivity suddenly returning back to the chat. Oozle has become a new YouTube member. Oozle is leading the way in being the greatest of all time because he's setting the standard. If you like Talking Town, if you get value from Talking Town, become a 5th standard today by either hitting the join button, as Oozle has just done on the YouTube site, or heading to our Ko-Fi page and becoming a 5th standard via that method. Either way, same perks, getting access to a Discord, which is absolutely off the charts. I've still not reviewed Cruncher's Chinese, primarily because it just makes me really, really jealous.
The Cruncher, Richard Moss.
You're talking utter f***ing...
Good afternoon, Mr. Moss. How are we, sir?
It tasted nice as well when I got home from football last night and had the leftovers.
Did it? Oh, love a good leftover Chinese. Anyway...
They taste better, don't they? Do you think the second day, Martin, when you...
Certainly
it tasted nice the first time, don't get me wrong, but it did taste nice the second time. I've just had a message from Budge.
Yes, Budge, friend of the show.
If anyone wants 2 tickets for Cambridge Section 6, contact me for Tuesday.
There you go. Contact Cruncher for Tuesday.
They could be 2 adults or they could be 1 adult, 1 under 19. So just send me a message and I'll sort it. First come, first serve.
Speaking of tickets, I know James Elmer enjoyed his ticket yesterday. He handed it back to me, beaming smile on his face, buzzing for that. Have we got a Cambridge winner? I think we have, haven't we?
Heidi Oldfield, because she got the double bubble from Cambridge and Bristol Rovers.
She did. Of course, it's a rollover.
Heidi's had COVID, but she's feeling a lot better now. So we'll see her on Tuesday. Penalty taker will be Connor Chaplin, because he took our last penalty 35 games ago, Martin, since we've got a penalty, and that was at Gillingham.
35 games ago. 35 games, good Lord. Stephen Parry says, what happened to the pound shop striker? Has he been promoted? You know what? It's funny, isn't it? Because football is a game of confidence. It truly is. And yesterday, let's start with the substitution coming on. Big Freddie Ladapo. first touch, finish. And if you've not seen it, check it out because it's great such finish. A great finish.
I know someone who's happy this morning. I don't know if you've seen it on the Discord. Kevin Keats in the chat. He obviously comes from down Pompey way and he's working this morning. And some great pictures of like the, I think it's the office where he's in. He's got town badges everywhere. So well done, Kevin. But Freddie Ladapo, the goal. Listen, when he came on, Colin, give him man of the match, Martin, because he made a massive impact. Not just him, but Kyle Edwards as well. When you make them changes, you do. Positive. Yeah, but you want them to have an effect because a lot of times subs come on and they don't really get in the game. You know, you struggle if you don't see a lot of the ball. But listen, it was a great finish from Freddie. And I had a message this morning from, I think it's Steve I talked to on Twitter. He's a Rotherham fan. And he said, and I've said it before, mine, if you look at a lot of Freddie's goals from Rotherham, 6 yards, 12 yards, they're instinctive finishes. And he didn't have to think about it, did he? He's a great, if you watch the move, it's a great move from, you know.
From Fridge, give him his dues. He's had enough criticism as well.
He's got that in his locker. That's where, for me, Rolls-Royce. He's got that in his locker that Cameron Burgess hasn't at the minute.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Burgess won't have it because he's massively improved under Kieran. I know he's injured. We're not going to see him for a couple of months, but Fridge starts that, you know, he's broke out of defence. Great ball to Davis, and it's a great cross. And Freddie just, he doesn't break his stride. And this postage stamp, I think, as you called it.
It was such a postage stamp goal, Rich, that the whole of the cobble stand took a second to realise it was in because it almost appeared to be on the other side.
I have a massive shout out to the cobble stand.
Have you? Oh, yeah. Well, we play
up. Fantastic shithousing from the cobbled. Lower cobbled. Absolute quality yesterday.
I know. We are good. We'll bounce back to that because I do want to sort of highlight it because it is something that's got people talking on social media. And it's important that we speak about it as the fan platform. But in-game decisions, we've talked about those relentlessly over the last 14 days because they've not been good. Yesterday, they were spot on. Ladapo got his goal, but Edwards equally showed glimpses of stuff that he hasn't shown before. He hasn't come on the pitch previously and done that. Yesterday, he had the ball and he had intent with his runs. He was driving at the fullbacks, causing panic on tired legs.
It was interesting what Kieran said post-match. He's had his best 2 weeks of training. Mm. So, I don't know, Mike. Maybe with certain players, maybe the penny drops, you know. I don't know what's happened. Something, he's had two really positive weeks. It's, if you look at Town, how he's set up when Harness and Chaplin are playing, they're more inside forwards, I'd call them. Whereas Edwards, when he came on yesterday, he stayed out on that left-hand side, I thought. Mm. And he really gave, I think it was Ogilvy, the right-back, two or three times. He had a great shot as well after that was blocked, that went out for a corner. And he just got his tail up. But he's one of these players, and I think, look, this is football in general, Martin. It's a confidence thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Confidence can come and go just like that. And yesterday, Kyle got his tail up. And listen, would it have been his goal? It probably would have been an own goal. Wes is there. He's just nodded it over the line. But that's that little bit of luck as well also, isn't it? That some games we haven't had. But all the good sides, Martin, they say you make your own luck. And we had a little bit yesterday, you know, with that winner.
Well, I always say luck is preparation meeting opportunity, and we are the most prepared side I've certainly have experienced as an Ipswich Town fan. Confidence is a game of football. That is football. It is confidence. We'll get a couple of comments and we'll come back to a couple of talking points. We'll chew the fat and then we'll drop the link in the live chat. As always, I know Lewis is keen. I know Alex is keen. We'll drop the live link. I want to do about 60 minutes today, Rich. 45, 60 minutes. So it'll be first come, first served, three or four people. If you don't get on, of course, you are more than welcome to come on tomorrow night show, 8:30 live. Lee Ladapo came on like he was JJ's dad, showed how to be a presence and outmuscled their back line. Norman, Fridge seems to finally get over his ankle injury. Stephen, we won't dispute you enough decisions, what you've been banging about. Do what we can control.
Yeah,
we will talk about that in a second. Ian Davis, the Dom ball substitution was also very important. Yeah. Not as obvious the impact, but an intelligent and important switch. Yeah, it was because it allowed Morsi to actually go and be a presser and actually go and press the back line.
In the last 10 minutes, he was really pressing Morsi. He was the highest up the pitch a lot of the time.
but that's what the Don Ball substitution allowed. Yeah. It allowed it released Morsy to go and beat.
Could you see starting a game like that?
I wouldn't want to. It reminds me of a. You know, they're nowhere near the quality, of course, but it reminds me of a Douglas Hyman excuse. It's like no one wants to start a home game with three central midfield players.
Away on the road, maybe.
Maybe
certain places,
but then you know, as I've always said, what abundance of riches in attacking options are you leaving out for? All by and large, three could be CDMs.
Yeah, because Morsy's obviously changed his game since Kieran's come here.
Yeah,
now he's got a little bit more in his locker. I know Mike doesn't like it, and he thinks he should just be like do his job. But then, listen, we got Panucci Kamara to come.
Absolutely.
He's still to come. So there you go. That's an exciting prospect ahead.
Here's a side question for you, because I've mentioned them. Which three are better? Because obviously the three I've mentioned, liking them too, played in the league above. So which three?
Douglas, it's a hard one. Because
I know it is.
I've got down here. So going back to after the game when Kieran, we're probably going to come into his comments.
Oh, yes. Fake kindness.
Yeah, about fake kindness. And he said about the stat about if you look, you'd be quite surprised at the amount of Championship games that Pompey have played with their players, Martin, compared to us. And I had a look, and it's Sam Morsy, 146, Lee Evans, 120. Now, Luke Hyme, I think, played about 150 games for Town. Mm-hmm. Scoose played over 200. Douglas played one season.
Too many.
Yeah. But you've got to look at the division that they played in and the division that we're playing in at the minute. So,
fair point. Max Pitchford, really good result. I called Ipswich flat track bullies last week. I'm thrilled they proved me wrong, Carl Brooks. Edwards has all the ability in the world. He goes past players for fun. A bit of coaching I'm around him. I have every confidence in the lad to do wonders. Norman Ball was also heading the ball against their strikers and allowed our central defenders to drop back. It was a really good substitution. Lee, this squad now actually plays with passion. Grabbing the game by the balls is great to see. In recent years, when it went 2-2, heads would have dropped. John,
really?
Go on.
Can I just touch on that? So I've wrote down, I've got four words. Mentality.
Ooh.
Totally different. Resilience. We've got a lot of resilience now, Martin. And Kieran uses that word quite a lot. Commitment, which to me is a given anyway with football. You should have commitment when you're going out on that pitch. And the desire, because yesterday we've had to win that game three times. We're leading. Mm. Then we give away the first penalty. Then we're leading. We're thinking, look, we've got that 2-1. We're all the crowd were up. You know how the North Stand was up. And then literally 5 minutes later, it was like somebody put a pin in your balloon, wasn't it? And it's like, here we go again. But to come back again, literally straight from the kickoff, it showed to me that it's a totally different animal, this Ipswich Town under Kieran McKenna. And I didn't think we played, first half hour, I thought we played quite well yesterday until the penalty. I didn't think we played great second half, but you still got to dig them results out, you know. And under previous managers, we wouldn't have won that game yesterday, Martin. No way.
Possibly not. No. Great words there. Mentality, resilience, commitment, desire. It was I was talking last night when the other half asked me how the game was, and I said it was a real roller coaster of a game. The sort of game you love, particularly if you come out on top, because you know you take the lead and you're thinking, brilliant, that first goal was so vitally important. Then you get pegged back. Was it a penalty for yourself, that first penalty? I've seen them back. For me, I'm going to stick to what I thought live. No penalty for me. How about you?
From where I was, I thought at the time, look, in the Premier League, it goes to VAR. So we probably, you get a clear sort of, was it, wasn't it? The referee, look, I referee, Martin, under 18s football. It's a fucking 100 miles an hour. You get one look at it and you've got to make that on the spot decision. It's all right. We're all looking at it. We're slowing it down. We're pausing it. I thought it was a penalty at the time. And it was the only time Wolfie, look, great yesterday. He was by the statue. We had a little chat with him. It was the only time that Peyton Scarlett.
You'll know what I'm going to say, though, don't you?
What?
They fucking overwatered that pitch again.
Well, he didn't slip, did he?
No, they weren't. The second half, they were certainly slipping all over the shot. And that ball skips away.
That was the only time that Dane Scarlett got away from Wolford and all day, wasn't it? Other than that, Wolfie's got home. He's took his tracksuit bottoms off. He's emptied his pockets. His car keys are out. His wallet, his phone. Hang on. Oh, Dane Scarlett. There you go. You've been in here all day. All day. And we, but I thought it was a penalty. To be honest, it was a pretty poor penalty from Bishop, and I thought Walton should have saved it, Martin.
He'll be upset. Yeah.
I thought he dived over the ball. But look,
which is quite ironic, because that's what I feel the penalty was. It was the player
jumping out of the way.
Yeah, jumping over the goalkeeper to avoid the contact, and the referee then does. I mean, that again to me comes down to like a very similar situation to Chaplin the week before, because they're both entitled to space on the pitch. In this instance, there's no coming together. Is it a foul because he's had to dive over him, as in jump over him? I apologize, jump over him.
It's interesting, the new rule as well, isn't it? Because probably in the olden days, Christian Walton gets a red card there, Martin. It's the double jeopardy, I think, now, isn't it? Because if he makes an attempt to go for the ball, you're only getting a yellow. So that's obviously why he was getting a yellow.
It's double jeopardy. What is it? Bloody a game show. Double jeopardy. Lee says we'd have been screaming for a penalty. Lee, I'd scream for anything.
100%, 100%. Lee,
that's football fans. You'd scream for anything, wouldn't it? You know, anytime your player hits the deck, you'd be screaming for anything, anywhere. For me, no penalty. But yeah, it wasn't a great penalty. Luke Wolfenden, obviously, a live cameo on Talking Town afterwards in his car. That was great. Here he was, window. All right, ma. 100th game for Luke Wolfenden yesterday.
Yeah, and you can see how he celebrated it. Like Colin said, they don't beep it out when they show the little bits on the social media after the game, but he was definitely like, fucking get in there. And you can see what it meant to him. And it meant a lot to not only him, but it meant a lot to all the players and Kieran and all the fans, Martin, because the way we celebrate at the end there, it's why you go to football. You know, them emotions at the end of the game, you stay in your seat and you want to cheer and clap the players off, because it's a big result, you know, and it means a lot. And let's hope we have a lot more of them at Portman Road and on the road this season.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, Wolfenden yesterday played such a really good game. The penalty incident, I feel the ball skips away because of the state of the pitch, but that will always be a bugbear of mine when I see him watering it again.
Don't worry, we won't have them sprinklers next season. You know, they pull out the hose pipe. We'll have the ones in the pitch that pop up.
I mean, it's probably an instruction, because we want to play zip football, you know, on the ground, and it helps that tactical way of playing. But Wolfenden, back to him, great game, solid, again, commanding. But he is a real testament to McKenna, because when McKenna came in, if you remember back to that window, I think many Town fans would have wanted a centre-half brought in, because we were perhaps looking at those options. Some weren't keen on Wolfie back then. Some weren't keen on the options alongside him, whatever it may have been, whichever point of view you may have had. You know, but this is a player now that seemingly is just getting better and better and better under the tutelage of McKenna. And this is one player you can certainly circle in a big red bar as having got better because of the manager.
Yeah, it's that trust, though. It's the trust that the manager has in him.
And absolutely.
He believes in him. And If you've got someone being negative and like you're in and out the side, like obviously when Cook was there, he was started the season, didn't he? And then he was out, and he was out in the wilderness. And if I think it was an interview I heard, I think it was the East Anglian done with him, Martin. It was like his girlfriend had to get him out of bed. He didn't want to go training, you know. Now
I didn't read that.
Now he'll be up early, you know. He'll be chomping at the bit to get to the training ground and learning every single day. It's interesting when you hear about Burgess, obviously injured at the minute, what Kieran had said about him. It's not just on the pitch he's learning. You know, they're in the classroom. They're obviously studying videos and all that. And Wolfenden, look, he's a credit to himself, because he could have easily thought, right, my time's up at Town, I'm out the door. But he's not. He's played 100 games, and here's to the next 100, Martin. Hopefully it'll be in a higher division.
Yeah. And then it went 2-1, and I'm thinking that second goal is vital. We're back in the lead. This is it. We're going to go on and win the game.
Yeah.
The second goal, you know, obviously we just spoke about Big Freddy, and then they equalise again. Second penalty.
I missed it.
I've seen it back. I missed it live because I had a text from Alex Wilson, and I was just replying to Alex because it was a throw 1 minute. So I just quickly fired a reply to Alex. Look,
no danger at all, was it really? A throw in on the left-hand side, you think? Nah, nothing happening there.
For me, more of a penalty than the first one. How do you see it?
I think it's a definite penalty. I think it's soft, But it's a foul. It's clumsy, anywhere else, isn't it? Yeah, it's clumsy because Morsi's gone to clear the ball. And he's literally, I'm not sure what the player, the Pompey player was. He's just nicked the ball ahead of him and he's just kicked him. He's just kicked him, Martin. And it's a foul, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. No,
it's a foul. And we've given them another opportunity to get back.
And they take it. Much better penalty from Bishop this time. 2-2. And at 2-2, I'm like, they just won't go away. This lot won't die. This lot and Danny Cowley just won't piss off back to Portsmouth having been beaten. And then all of a sudden, it feels like literally seconds after they've scored.
I think I see it in the chat there earlier. I think it was 29 seconds from the
29
kickoff.
29 seconds. We go from on the floor thinking, hey, this lot won't piss off, to suddenly jubilation. And then suddenly you reverse it and think, they won't disappear, but we won't be denied. We have got the resiliency, the determination, the commitment, the mentality, exactly, all those things you just mentioned, to win a game against a top side.
Yeah, because if we'd have come out there at 10 to 5, we'd have been really deflated, wouldn't we? Because it would have been another game that, when you look at the stats, they had 3 shots on target, Martin. 2 of them were a penalty. The other one was Marlon Pack's free kick in the second half. Other than that, they've created nothing. You know, we've given them a helping hand, haven't we? The 2 goals they've got, it come from our mistakes, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So it did show that, because the players could have been, here we go again, you know? But we did, like I say, we got Edwards, great run. Freddie Ladapo plays a big part in that goal again, holds the ball up, lays it off. But it is that little slice of luck that you do need. You know, Edwards is, it's a tackle and it's just literally wiped the goalie out. The goalie's got no chance. Absolutely no chance. It was Ipswich Town pitches that go hard. I've sent you it on WhatsApp.
I've just seen the WhatsApp. Yeah.
The Bobby, absolutely and they were like, brilliant. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you can hear it. And you think,
it's a little ripple of applause as they think
credit,
they're
look, credit to Portsmouth fans yesterday. Listen, no trains on, Martin. No trains. Nearly 2,000. They've made their way to town, buses, cars, you know, they've got there by hook or by crook. And I thought, listen, they always travel in their numbers, they're good supporters, and I'm looking forward to when we go down there, because that is going to be a blockbuster just after Christmas. I've booked my hotel, I'm staying down there on the Thursday night after it, and listen, there'll be a harder opposition at home. I said to Colin earlier, Pompey, I think when they play at home, look, they're not the greatest football team. They play to their strengths. They're a typical.
Are they Mick McCarthy 2.0?
Yeah, 4-4-2. You know, get it forward, long throws,
percentage
pieces. But when you go down to Fratton Park, it'll be hard down there because their fans, they back them all the way. And I don't think they'll lose a lot of games at home. On the road, it might be a bit different. But listen, we come out on top yesterday, and it was fully deserved. It was fully deserved. You know, that I know Cowley said after the game he thought, yeah, they could have got a draw, but they didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve anything.
No, they didn't. And before we bring in other fans of ITFC to have their say on their platform, totally unfiltered, I want to just pick up on an article that Stuart Watson penned for the East Anglian Daily Times. A great read. If you've not read it, do check it out. Where the quote, obviously, from McKenna comes in, it's a false kindness designed to trap and trick this football club. What were your thoughts on those post-game comments and sort of, you know, the one I've just mentioned there?
People will want to downplay their own club to justify styles of play and approaches to games. We need to be above that. Listen, I think we discussed this on Friday. It's just mind games, Martin. It's nothing new. Nothing new. It's been going on for years. But Kieran's a real articulate, intelligent individual, and like, we all, as fans, we should be massively proud that we've got a manager like him. I watched yesterday, where I sit is right near the away dugout. The carry-on that them two, all fucking game. Nicky Cowley whistling. If he's got a fucking dog, yeah, fine. But shut the fuck up. I'm trying to watch a fucking football game here. But yeah, Kieran and Martin Pert, they're at class. They're class individuals. Look, they come from non-league Cowleys.
You wanted Cowley when Cook was on the way out.
Listen, they're the type of people, if they're your football club manager, I think you'd love them.
You're all for, oh, Daddy Cowley, please, Daddy Cowley.
I think you'd like them if they were your manager. But
no.
I think you would. I think you would. They've turned Portsmouth around. Look, they've done a really good job there so far.
They have,
but,
to be fair, they have, yeah.
But yeah, getting back to Kieran, he's a class individual, Martin, and long may he stay at Ipswich Town because he's doing really well. He's measured with what he says. And I love the guy. I think, look, we're very lucky that we've got him, haven't we?
Mm.
The prodigy versus the PE teacher, that was what it was yesterday.
We have to, as fans, just truly hope the club moves fast enough to go with him, because he is going places. It's just whether or not we can be together hand in hand, or whether
Cowley, like Ben Moore says there, I wanted him before Cook. Yeah, I did. And who knows if he'd have come in, what job he would have done.
He'd done an absolutely fine job.
We could have had Graham Potter. We could have had Frank Lampard. They didn't come, did they?
Good afternoon, Chris. Chris took his lad to his first game yesterday. I said before the game, it's a great game to come for your first one. And I was absolutely spot on the money there. Alex, I bring you in. Alex, what are your thoughts on yesterday's game? Sat here now on a Sunday lunchtime.
Yeah, I think it's an absolute statement win. I really do. You know, in the sense that there aren't going to be many teams that are going to, if any, that are going to come down and outplay us. And for me, it's a big monkey off our back. You know, there's been a lot of stuff bouncing around on social media by, you know, people saying we haven't beaten the tops. We'll be hearing from him shortly,
but Tally Opinion's not the person.
You know, we haven't beaten the top side. And, you know, I love the guy, but it's sort of like we've done that now, and it's a huge monkey off our back. Mm. You know, because it's that thing that, you know, you can't potentially use that anymore. And I think, you know, you could potentially argue that Tuesday, you know, yeah, Cambridge have fallen off a little bit, but they've had a good solid start to the season. So, you know, if we can go and get, you know, 6 points out, obviously we've got the 3 yesterday and then 3 more Tuesday, I think, you know, it'll be really good. And it does feel very different with this side, you know, because it's not like we're playing badly and, you know, getting scrappy goals to get results, you know. We're playing some amazing football this year. 9 times out of 10, you know, when we do lose a goal, it's because of something we've done, rather than it being a team good enough to undo us. So
it's a great point, Rich. And I'll ask you both this question, but Rich, does it concern you how we don't hold a lead? Because we won the game yesterday. Brilliant. We'll be positive. We'll pick that back up in a second. But again, third game in a row where we've taken the lead, not once but twice, but, you know, we've also surrendered the lead.
True, but we're playing better teams, so you do expect that some part that they will have a good spell in the game. Now, we've got these 3 games out of the way. We've took 4 points. I think if we'd have sat here, Martin, before the Sheffield Wednesday game, we would have took 5. I think we would have took 5 points if we'd have still remained unbeaten, which we didn't. But we could have quite easily, Alex, won all 3. We didn't. That is football, you know. You have to sometimes, you just have to take your medicine, Martin, and say, at Plymouth, the substitutions, we didn't manage the game well. At Sheffield Wednesday, probably the same. Sheffield Wednesday, listen, goal was offside, wasn't given. You have to just, in this league, we've seen the officials, you just have to get over it and get on with it. But listen, we've now got a run of games, Alex, where we should. There's nothing... Nothing's a given. You know, it's like Kieran says when about like the mentality is designed to trap the football club into thinking anything other than hard work is going to win us football matches, Martin. We've still got to have the right mentality when Cambridge rock up on Tuesday. Right mentality. You've got to... I've lost my words. You've got to...
That's not often that happens.
Go on, Alex.
Alex, is it bad habits?
There you go.
Is it bad habits creeping in? Because I got text that. I can't remember when, which goal it was, but I did get a text saying bad habits. Now, you know, is it a bad habit or is it the quality competition stepping up as Rich suggests for the lead?
I don't think it's bad habits. I think possibly it's a little bit of indiscipline creeping in.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the goals against Sheffield Wednesday with a free kick that didn't need to be given away, you know. And it's sort of like, if we don't get the decision, get up and get going, you know, rather than just fall up, you know, try and, you know, get something that you obviously the ref's not going to give. And I think, you know, it potentially is a little bit of luck as well, because someone raised a good point to me pre-game yesterday. The Sheffield Wednesday equaliser. Because obviously there'd been some incidents, shall we say, during that game with stuff getting thrown on the pitch, and you know, and you maybe think, you know, had that not happened, what would they have called that second goal offside? You know, was it a little bit of stealth preservation from the
we can't for sure say yes or no either way. That's an intangible, I agree,
a little bit. If you're a linesman and there's stuff being thrown on the pitch and it's happened three times, Alex, and then it's a closed offside and you've got the opposition fans behind you, you're probably going to think, human nature thinking,
but you can't say for sure either. What I would say is, as a football fan, it seems to be forgotten about. Like, what's actually happening with that? Because I would have expected some action, some fierce come down action quicker. But then maybe I'm expecting different, you know, things in an unrealistic timeline. But that's gone.
Yeah,
that's gone. We did. We got the point. We should have got all three. We didn't. 4 from 9 is the stat. You mentioned yesterday it's a good return. I'll bring in the person you referenced in a second ago. The fisherman. Here he is. 4 from 9. You'd have taken that, wouldn't you, 2 weeks ago?
4 from 9?
Yeah, 4 from 9. Plymouth, Wednesday,
you're about, and Portsmouth. You're about 4 points from 9, yeah?
4 points from 9. 4 from 9. Look at his face. He would have done.
It's all in hindsight.
We're saying it now because it's the event's happened. You know, say it before the event. You know, not after the event. Look. The draw against Sheffield Wednesday, you don't give away a 2-goal lead. I've spoken about this before. You don't give a 2-goal lead. Substitutions cost us that game. Kieran McKenna got it wrong. Plymouth, again, we needed someone like Don Ball to come on to sturdy our midfield and to shore up our defence and help support the defence again. He got his substitutes wrong. Yesterday, he got them bang on. Absolutely. I mean, we talk about man in the matches, but That them decisions to bring them substitutions on at that moment in time. And they were the right substitutions for the right people. And you could see, you know, when I said, like, on Twitter, and I say, look, that was a must-win game. It was a must-win game. And you could see that by the reaction of the managers and the players at the end. They were buzzing. I mean, Kieran McKenna is a quiet bloke and I agree. Now, at the end of the day, I'm not always going to agree with every manager's decision. That's just part of being a fan. But he is the best manager we've had since Burley, I say. You know, for the way he handles things and the way he does things and the way he comes across. But what I would say is that, you know, he's still learning. Sometimes I think he overthinks things. You know, let's not try and be too clever with the tactics. This is League One, not the Championship, not Premier League. And yesterday he gave a call on substitutions, bang on the money. And then when we were 3-2 up, bringing Ball on, you know, that was a masterstroke because, you know, that should have happened last week against Plymouth. That should have happened against Sheffield Wednesday. You know, so it's hindsight.
I agree with Mike because as soon as we got that third goal, literally, Ball was straight on then. Now, last Saturday, Sunday at Plymouth, Mike, as soon as it went 1-1, that's when Ball should have been on. We won't lose this game. We'll tighten it up and we'll probably take a draw.
Yeah,
same at Sheffield Wednesday. Same at Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, Wednesday, I was more annoyed about conceding. Look, we're not getting beat by better teams. We're getting beat by individual errors. And some, shall we say, rather questionable decisions. I didn't think the first one was a penalty yesterday. I thought the player just literally looked like he was just about to dive in the swimming pool. But Morsi, you know, he didn't even appeal. So the second one for me was a stonewall penalty. Yeah. Some might say it's soft, some may say it worked. But at the end of the day, it was a penalty because, you know, anywhere else on the pitch, that's a foul.
Yeah, 100%.
But the goalkeeper, you know, Walton never touched him. I've tried to watch it about... Well, I've watched it over 10 times now, that first one. And I just genuinely didn't think that was a penalty. But second one was. But the referee was getting on my nerves because every time they get in the box after we scored the third or any time they got near the box, the referee was like, looked like he was about to get hold of his whistle and blow it. You know, it was like, are you just looking to give them another penalty or something? You know, look, he weren't the worst ref we've had, but I wouldn't say, he was, superb. But yesterday, I was worried about yesterday. I think if fans are honest, I think most, near enough, probably 100% of the fans were probably worried about yesterday. You know, if they're honest, because it's a nervous game. It was a must-win game because it's against one of our rivals and it's at home. And like I said, you can see that by the reaction to Kieran McKenna and the players afterwards. You know, they were
buzzing. But it wasn't a must-win.
Sorry?
It wasn't a must-win, though,
Mike. Of course it was, Martin.
It was no.
Come
it was,
on.
It,
you, no, no. You came no, no, on no. Twitter.
It's October the 1st, man.
No. You must... Every game that we play is a must-win game if we want to get out of this league.
As fans, of course it is, but it's not a must-win. Oh my God! Let's just rewind
this. It's against our rival. It's a must-win game.
It's a mustn't lose. It's a mustn't lose.
No, rubbish. Otherwise, we might as well just say, okay, well, I'll tell you what, but we won't play the games. We'll go on what we think will happen. I tell you what, we'll take a draw there. We'll take a win there. I tell you what, I don't think we'll beat them. Sorry, we'll just take a loss there. You play the games, you get the win, and you do the best. Whole idea of football. What's the objective?
But the
football?
Season wouldn't have been over had we got beat.
No. What is the objective for football? That's to win the
game. To win prizes. To win trophies.
No, to win the game to get the 3 points. That is the objective for football. Go back to when it was invented. That was the objective of football, to score more goals than your opponent and win the game, whether it's home and away. Yesterday, we scored more goals than the opponent, therefore we won. We would have got 3 points if we'd have won 1-0 or 3-0 or 5-0. We still would have got them 3 points.
I think you have to separate it, Mike.
That's the most important thing.
Sorry, Mike. I think you have to separate it. For me, and we'll move on because it's obviously we did win, but psyche, I think, yes, it probably maybe was a must-win. I was trying to say this to Josh at the statue yesterday because I saw your back and forth on Twitter.
I was just having a bit of banter, me and Josh.
I know. And he was laughing
as
well.
He's a lovely man. I love him. He's a good lad.
For the psyche... Probably, yeah, must win because it gets over that hurdle of can you, can't you.
That's what Lee Anderson says there. That's what Lee Anderson says there in the chat.
Ah,
it's
yes,
not a must win in terms of points, but
in terms
of
belief.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So you know, that's the thing you see. When you know, we talk about football and how our players, we've got skillful players and players that can, you know, that played in the championship and stuff like that. You know, we've got these players that can change games, can win games and stuff like that. You know, but they're wasted if we go with that mentality. Well, look, we'll just take a draw here, or we'll just, you know, a draw. At the end of the day, is I want to win every bloody game. That's just me as a Town fan. I want to win every game. I don't want to go away to Plymouth and lose. I don't want to go to share away to, you know, away to Sheffield Wednesday and get a draw. I want to win every game. Reality, that's not going to happen. We know that unless you're a £1 billion team like Man City, and you got £1 billion players, then that there may be. You know, you might only lose three games all season. But League One's a tough old league. You got so many different, you know, styles of football and teams with less and more ability, you know, with certain players sort of standing out. A bit like Scott Twine last season, you know. I think, like I say, you can see what's happened to MK Dons this season after losing one of their key players. And what I don't want from us is to go down the road of not getting promoted this season and end up losing our key players and end up being where MK Dons are right now. I want us out of this league. I want us back in the Championship where we can invest, spend a bit of money, and not look to get out of that league and get to Premier League. If we did it, great. If we didn't, just consolidate our position back in the Championship and then look to do another, you know, and look to the future and sort of a 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years, you know, to get try and gain that promotion back to the Premier League, where, quite frankly, I feel this club belongs and the fans deserve it. The fans, this is the thing, right? I don't agree. Look, me and some of the fans on Twitter don't get on. But I'll tell you something now. Every one of us would be jumping around, holding hands, you know, if we got to the Premier League and kissing each other. Because
Absolutely.
That is what Town fans is all about. We might have difference of opinions. We might abuse each other sometimes. But as Town fans, we want to go to the promised land, you know. And that's...
Not in the Championship, Mike. That's the Premier League. Let's just keep our, you know...
But as a Town fan, you want that goal. The end goal with Ipswich for me is to get back in the Premier
League. All right, Shane Ward. Nobody? Oh, come on. That was a good one.
Completely lost my goal.
Shane Ward? He was in Corrie, you know, Shane Ward. Do you know, Ipswich Town was in Corrie the other week. We lost a League Cup game against Weatherfield County. Even in Soapland, we can't win a cup game.
Yeah, we're poor in cups, aren't we?
Absolutely terrible. Mike, before I let you go, I'm going to bring in Fred's on fire, then Stephen, and if we get time, Colin. But I know Colin will be there tomorrow night because he's a diehard, committed talking towner. So I can always count on Colin for good content. But before I let you go, Mike, player of the match yesterday for you from the armchair. I mean, from the comfort of your own house.
Well, from my comfort of my own house, watching iFollow. Yeah.
Your holiday home in Florida.
For me, there was two players that made a difference yesterday. One came on, one played the whole game. Because he played the whole game, I've got to give it to Davis. I thought he was outstanding on that.
Well, he went off, didn't he, towards the end, but yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. Start from the start, right the way through. I don't know, he came off at the end. I thought, look, Edwards came on, done brilliant. Ladapo, I was really chuffed for the boy because, yeah, I've given him some stick as well, you know. And that's just part of being a fan. But great, another goal now for him. And he took it well. He did what I asked him to do, put his laces through it.
He did.
You know?
He did.
And look, you know, it's and like I say, yesterday was it was disappointing when I see the second penalty go in, and then I was like, oof. But then within seconds, that must have been what, 30 seconds?
27 boom. Seconds.
Tell everybody what you were doing when we scored the third goal.
Don't want to know this. I don't know if I do.
Well, I was working and I jumped out of my seat in the shop and I went, yes, get in there. And I had about six people in the shop. But they all sort of made two of them jump.
Who was a Chinese at 10 to 5?
It was hilarious. And the kitchen staff, they were like, what the hell?
Yeah, was 7-9.
Mike, who has a Chinese meal at 10 to 5 on it? What?
Mate, because of how good the food is and obviously superb counter staff, you know.
Weren't you working this weekend?
Absolute gorgeous man as I am. But yeah, no, seriously. Yeah, no, honestly, we're so busy from 4:30. So we get from 4:30 till about 8:30. And then 8:30 onwards, it get a bit slow. But oh, my days, yeah. But yeah, no, look, a win yesterday. We so needed that. And for the psychological side of the game, that's like, fuck you to the Pompey fans. Have you seen? Oh yeah, quick one. Anybody can find it. I have done it on Twitter. I don't know if it'll work, but there's a Pompey fan doing an amazing rant. It's hilarious.
Okay, link it. You'll find it on
I've shared. Is he related to you by any chance?
I've shared the Facebook link on my Twitter.
Is he related to you?
Great.
Is he related Christian, to you?
We love you. We appreciate you. Don't take that bait. Don't be a fisher. Don't be a carp.
I didn't know what you said.
Good.
I said,
love
is he related
you.
To you?
See, fisherman, we love you. Appreciate you. Look after yourself. Take care. For a fisherman, he does fall for bait quite often. Paul P. Hope Davis is fit for Tuesday because he was getting lumps kicked out of him all game. Referees don't protect him at all. Ross, the investors want us in the Premier League as well. They absolutely do. Mark Thompson, welcome in, Mark. Definitely must win. Give us 3 points cushion on Pompey with their game in hand. Means at least level on points. News just in. Breaking news. I've just received an email to say I've won the lottery. I'm bloody ecstatic.
Yeah.
A fiver. I mean, I pay fucking £20 a month for it for the privilege anyway. So I'm still £15 down. I hate when they do that. You've won the lottery. Log in to see your result. Yes, this is it, lads. Retirement.
Put that towards the car.
Yeah. That might cover the mechanic's 10-minute lunch break. Good grief. Ian says, the Fishman's favourite player, Pat Rice. One for the juniors there. Anybody want to know? Okay, there's a tumbleweed. Yeah. Talking of favourite players, anyone watching Strictly Come Dancing before we bring Phil in?
No.
I am. Big Tony Adams.
He's yeah, big favorite. Tone.
I love Tony. He did that first week, you know, the whole...
Yeah, I see it.
I love
What's
Tony.
Like? What's he like?
Oh, absolutely wooden as they come. Stiff at the hips. Can't dance to save his life, bless him. But loved him as a man, and I loved him growing up as a player. Every playground, every time... I was Tony Adams. He was my utmost favourite player of all time. And my favourite goal, one of my favourite goals, is that goal at the end of his career against Everton, where he just stands there. That's peak. Peak Tony. Big Tone. Love him. Who's your favourite player growing up, Rich?
Growing up? Oh, blimey. Probably Gazza.
Gazza, great player. Alex, who was yours?
Probably Edgar Davids.
It could have his. Now, that was a player, Barnett. That was a strange situation, wasn't it? When he went to Barnett. Yeah.
Player manager at Barnett.
I mean, there's been some strange ones over the years, but Edgar Davids in a Barnett Pickett probably is the most. Phil, who was your favourite player growing up?
Don't know, Ian Marshall.
Ian Marshall. You can see some Ian Marshall content on this platform. We recorded it at the barn. It was fantastic. Give it a good listen. Phil.
I mean, recording it in a barn, did you say?
We did, actually. Yeah, it was in a barn.
That's quite funny, because before yesterday, Freddie couldn't actually hit a barn door.
Well, you say that, but it's 4-4 all of a sudden, Phil, and this man is on fire. Big
he is, yeah.
The Waitrose striker we always knew we had.
Oh, look at him.
Hey, he's my player of the year, shout. So don't be coming on. I'm driving the Freddie Ladapo bandwagon, mate. You jump on the back. I'm driving it. Phil, how did you see the game yesterday?
I thought McKenna's subs yesterday were absolutely bang on for once, and it was so good coming out of that stadium at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. It was so good. The relief when I didn't think we'd get the third after that second penalty went in. I'm gonna say Walton was a bit unlucky with the first one. Yeah, he should have saved it, but you know, Burns. I think if he'd probably played last week, you know, might have been different. I don't know, but. I mean, his timing was absolutely superb, but I didn't know it was 27 seconds after the second Portsmouth goal.
Did you not?
No, I didn't. I thought it felt like more like 2 or 3 minutes, actually.
It felt like years, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was that sinking gut
Didn't you think, though, Phil, it was like, and Alex, it was like slow motion, the ball from Edwards, when it sort of spun up in the air?
Yeah, I've got a thing about Edwards, right? Okay, I've seen enough of him. I think that he's just about impressed me, because if you take the Northampton game into consideration... The amount of assists that he's got now, is it 4 or 5 assists?
Or 5.
From what? 5? I mean, say, really? I mean, say, if Davis gets Crocs, maybe, I don't know, on Tuesday, for example, start a good shout for that left-sided.
He's not a wing-back. He's not a wing-back. I don't think.
We can keep trying to make him a wing-back as fans.
Yeah, I don't think he's a wing-back. Keep further up the pitch.
How did you see yesterday, Phil, Marcus Harness against his old team? He's been quiet last couple of weeks. Took the goal really well,
yeah,
thumped the badge a few times in front of the Pompey faithful.
Yeah.
How did you see his game?
I thought he was, again, he just drifted in and out of the game, didn't he? I would say he didn't stand out, but, you know, he didn't go unnoticed, you know, for obvious reasons. But I would say he took his goal very well. And I would say he came over to kind of celebrate on the Pompey away section side and thinking, oh God, this is going to kick off a little bit. But it didn't. But no, he took his goal very well. And I'm just really pleased for now, because what's that, 6 he's got this season? What's it, 7?
Yeah, 6.
Yeah, and Rich is getting squeaky about his little bet with Richard Chandler.
The only thing that disappointed me with Harness is he should have done a knee slide with his fingers in the ears right in front of them. That's what he should have done, because they were giving him some stick.
We want no more players with fingers in their ears, please. We had that a couple of years ago. We don't want any more of that. Different.
He took it well, though. He was never missing that when he went through, guys. He was never ever missing.
I thought Burns should have had one. First half.
Did. Ah, okay. When?
I think it was Davis who crossed it in, and it just fell for Burns on the right hand side. But he hit it straight at the goalkeeper. He just palmed it away. I thought Davis yesterday for me. I don't think I saw him put a foot wrong. I didn't see, a failed pass at all from him yesterday, which I'm saying for me, yesterday was man of the match for me, but he could have named, you know, one or two others for performance.
Well, you could have done, but one player I don't think you could mention as man of the match, maybe you're going to correct me and tell me he had a great game, was Tyrese John-Jules. Involved for the first goal, granted, but other than that, I thought he was really ineffective and much the raw young player on loan from Arsenal, Phil.
I thought he was bullied a little bit. I thought he was bullied a little bit off the ball, if I'm being honest. I'm saying when he did get into good positions, he was kind of just... I mean, so I think there was one, I think, what was it, in the second half, that he looked like he might have been thrown goal, but tripped up, or the ball kind of didn't quite fall for him, and I just felt for him a little bit. But I think generally, yeah, you're right. He didn't have his best game yesterday, did he?
Roller coaster of emotions, Alex, with a young player. We had it with Wolfenden. I mentioned it a couple of years ago on the platform, where because they're young, they're developing, you're never going to get a consistent level of return. It's always up, down. One game you'll be a 9 out of 10. Another game you'll think, well, Christ, was even playing. Yesterday, a surprise inclusion, particularly as Jackson played really well, and to an extent, so did Big Fred against Plymouth. How did you see John George? Because as Philip says, he was very much almost bullied, really, at times.
Yeah, I don't think yesterday was the game to him, in all honesty. You know, he there's obviously talent there.
Huge.
I know the Donny fans were raving about him when they had him. You know, there's obviously talent there, but I think for me, I don't know if he is a striker. I don't think he can play up top on his sort of. For me, he's more of a 10. I don't see him as like. He might get 4 or 5 goals this year. I don't see him going on a consistent scoring run, you know, because he's got that quality in his locker. You know, after the goal against Shrewsbury, which was an amazing goal. But for me, it's about consistency, and you can't expect him to have consistency being a young player who is, you know, going out. Because there's a lot to say for being farmed out on loan by Arsenal, you know, every year, possibly a couple of times a year. So you can't expect him to maybe be consistent, because he's not been in a dressing room where he's the main man yet.
Yeah, yeah. My nan did say to me yesterday, she dug me in the ribs and she said, he won't play for Arsenal. Now, we are 0-1 on that prediction, because we all did say, including my dad along with us, that the wing-back who was on loan here from Arsenal... Ainsley Maitland-Niles. He won't play either. But he now is a firm fixture, or was, in the Arsenal first team. So maybe there is hope for TJJ. Alex, before I let you go, you are wearing some fine merchandise there, which you can get at shop.talkingtown.co.uk. Links on the screen there. How warm is that hoodie? Tell the people at home just how warm that hoodie is.
It is incredibly warm. It is always wearing it. And it's been on ITFC promotional material as well, because it was worn and seen in a goal we scored last year, I believe.
There you go. And Alex, you know, He looks great in it. He's warm in it. You can be in it. Not his one, obviously, but you can be in one. Go to the website, get some merch. Because quite frankly, boys, either side, you know, Phil and Rich, you're letting the side down, because I'm wearing the merch. Alex is wearing the merch. And you two aren't. So it's
you should have seen my new hoodie I was wearing yesterday. It wasn't a town one. It was a nice...
But it should have been. That's what I'm going to say. Because then you might...
I'm not really a hoodie type person, but yesterday was different.
What hoodie was it yesterday?
It was a designer one that I bought online for about 40 quid.
Are you calling my stuff not designer? I'll have you know. I'll have you know, fella. All right. Alex, we love you. We appreciate you. Look after yourself. All the best. Stephen, I'll bring you in. Keep filling for a second and a little bit longer. How did you see the game yesterday from your perspective in your holiday home in Frankfurt?
Well, it was like...
Phil, you, Steve, sorry, you're in the dark, mate. Are you...
Is this a new camera?
I know it's October the 1st and rates have gone up, but...
Yeah, the wife's old laptop died, so I bought a new camera, and it's not plugging into this, so I have to use it for the time being. I'm buying a new one end of month, so I'm going to get one with a bit better specs so that it fits my camera in.
It's like dating in the dark, isn't it, Steve?
Well, I've got my blinds shut because people keep looking through my windows.
I don't want that. Yeah.
Like, piss off. You know, this isn't Truman Show. You know, but anyway, getting back to the game. We've played some good games. You know, every single game we've played well. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't actually think that we deserve to lose any of them based on the way we played. We've lost, as Crunchy keeps saying, through fine margins, or we've drawn through fine margins. You know, giving referees decisions to make that you don't need to give them. Don't let them make a decision. They won't give anything. You know, and sometimes it's just that little bit of slow thinking. You know, if they were a bit quicker in making decisions, is this player going to do anything with this ball? Like Burns last week, is this player going to do anything with this ball? Then there's no need for me to commit. And I think people, they're just being a little bit slow in their thinking, and they're not reading the game as well as they could do. That's workable. You can work on that. That's easy to work on. It's a lot easier Absolutely. To line up than it is to... get the other part of it, which is creating chances. And we create chances for fun.
Stephen, I do absolutely love hearing from you, but all I can hear is your laptop. So I'm going to have to drop you out. because the people at home listening, not watching, will thank me for that. Well, I do love hearing from you.
I'll tell you what, I'll have to use my phone in future. I'll just put it down. So I'm
no, what we will do is we'll do some tech help with you on the webcam. We'll get that sorted out. We will find a time where me and you can do something and we'll get that sorted out. But until then, look after yourself. Phil, before that's I bring Colin in, yeah. I know. For those listening on audio platforms, I do apologise. That was Mr. Perry, the voice of reason, and his fan. As the fisherman says, Jesus, I can hear that natural from here. Have you tried cleaning the fans? Ian says, can you start the fans? Let's hope he gets more gold tokens than silver. Go on,
just before I go, yesterday, right, how lucky were Pompey to get those two penalties? Because both of them were penalties from where I was sitting, but Portsmouth didn't deserve to score those two goals. They got them, like, who was it? What was his name? Said that they got those goals through our mistakes.
Yeah.
They didn't play well yesterday. They didn't. I would say just, you know, for anyone watching that game yesterday, how the hell did Portsmouth score two goals from us?
This is it. Did they not play well, Rich, or did they come up against the immovable object known as Ipswich Town FC under Kieran McKenna?
Well, I agree with Phil because, yeah, they scored two goals, but they're from our mistakes, mine. And like you said, these last three games, we have made mistakes. We are playing better opposition. And we hope that going forward, that you're not giving teams helping hands. You know, it could have been a lot easier yesterday. It was 1-0. We were really comfortable, weren't we, Phil, in that game at 1-0 in the first half. I thought, if anything, we'll get another goal here before half time. And then we give them that penalty. Look, was it a penalty? Wasn't it? The refs give it mine at the end of the day and stop making mistakes. But like Mike D did say in the chat there earlier, we play in League One, Martin. Mistakes are made. Yep. The better teams at the end of the season will make less mistakes. Hopefully it'll be us and hopefully we'll finish it in the top two.
They absolutely will. Yeah.
Who's that Portsmouth fan? Was it Kevin Keats?
Kevin's an Ipswich
Town
fan.
Kevin's an Ipswich Town fan.
Obviously,
He lives in Portsmouth. Talking of which, before I let you go, Phil, I will let you go. Phil, I do love you and I appreciate you coming on the show. Look after yourself.
You
all the best, my man. Because Colin's just popped back on the bottom of my screen, so we'll try
and bring two goals. Are they 3-0 up already?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Oh, actually, in the Fisherman's defence, this is Radio 5 Live while I was trying to sort out the motor, and Jonathan Woodgate didn't think that Ireland would settle as quickly as he did in the Premier League either. So, you know,
He's an absolute beast.
Yeah, I've just lost my login, so I can't put him in my fantasy football team. So I'm just...
He's in mine, but I didn't have him in from the start, which was a massive error.
Yeah, I had Jesus in. He scored yesterday, so, you know. Julian Toke, encouraging for us is seeing how well we're going to do in the Championship. Don't think they're much better than us. Mark, game of the Manchester Derby, 3-0, Haaland 2. Norman Greenwald, when we cut out those mistakes, we're going to be some team. Rich, Nathan Pearson, the volleyball shithousing was uncharacteristic of Town fans. Getting SAR Stan to sing Be Happy was uncharacteristic of Town fans. This is all about breaking old habits. Nathan loves it. Many haven't loved it.
Yeah, I see some the tactics social media on social media.
Some did. I'll ask you, and I'll ask Colin the same question. How did you view it, and what are your thoughts on those antics?
Now, I don't think this will be a regular occurrence, Martin. It was because the opposition we were playing yesterday. You know, look what happened when they came down. I think was it March time they came down and wasted time. Happy with a draw. They were doing it a little bit yesterday, you know. Marlon Pack when he was taking the throw-ins. How long was he taking to dry that ball? They must have soaked that pitch, you know? So I found it quite amusing, you know? Listen, we're two nice as fans. Fair enough. The best one was over your side when the guy bounced the ball
all the way
along the railings and then fucking threw it. And their left-back, Robertson, gave him a gobble, didn't he? Listen. It is what it is. Look, the referee probably added on, what, another minute maybe? But chill out, everybody, for fuck's sake. I mean, we won the game. You know, the world has enough fucking crap going on at the moment, Martin, if you watch the news every single day. We're at football. Just enjoy it for what it is. We've won the game. We won 3-2. You know, yeah, fair enough. You might not agree with throwing the ball, but does it really matter at the end of the day? No, it might bite us. And another game. But I don't think as fans will do it in another game because I just think it's the opposition we played. If you look at Danny Cowley's comments after the game, did he really have a problem? He just said they probably got too emotionally involved in it, going back to like their captain having a pop at one of our fans. But like he said, 28,500, you know, what third-tier league anywhere, Martin, in the world would have a crowd like that? And he said it when he was managing non-league, he was managing in front of like 28, 30 people. So it is what it is. Talking about non-league and football around the world, I don't know if probably everyone's seen it, the Indonesian football disaster. I mean, oh my God, 174 people. Shocking. Died. Absolutely horrendous.
Our thoughts go out to those people in that incident. I haven't really checked in with that, but yeah, our thoughts go to them. I think, you know, on the antics, you're either for it or against it, very much so. Obviously, we are known as a gentleman club.
Who was the journalist last night, the Portsmouth Journo, who he basically said about Ipswich fans about lacking class? He got absolutely destroyed on social. And he got a massive forehead as well. Bit unlucky, wasn't it?
No, Ian Davis, no thanks. Let's not lower ourselves to their level. If we don't like it, we shouldn't do it. Childish, not a good look. AD says, quality shithousery. Stuart says, if Portsmouth scored in the 97th minute, you wouldn't have been happy with the fan time wasting. Will the club get a fine? Don't know, Lee Anderson.
No.
Depends what they're... Well, you know, I don't think it's failure to control
the crowd. Not giving the ball back. No, you get fined by that.
When they brought the five subs in, they also brought in the multi-ball system.
So Kieran said that, and I think Danny Kelly said it. That if you have a multi-ball, that stops that immediately.
But you've got to see it multi-ball because when they brought the five subs in, one of the other rules they brought in was the available use of a multi-ball.
Don't use that. There's no multi-ball because you see I think it was the second or third time, and they still had the ball in the stand, and they couldn't even get a ball on to give them a ball to play again.
4-0 City, apparently. I absolutely loved it. I'm going to
come on. 3-6-9. Come on.
Goes against our gentleman.
No, I said Friday. We are too nice as fans. We are way too nice.
And in a way, it's no different to a player going down with cramp or injury. You're stopping the flow of the game.
Yeah.
You're playing your part. You want the 12th man to play the part. When they play the part, you get upset. Like, you know, it's not just... I loved it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I kept going. Chuck it
and the kobold. And the kobold as well.
Mate, you underestimate us. It's that Britannia lot. The Britannia lot...
If it had, we'd have kept it as well.
Well, you might have done, but it's that Phillips lot, you know, and that little corner. They don't get involved.
It's right at the top. If the ball goes up there, well, someone's done their job by passing it into the stand in the first place.
They have. Colin, bring you in. We're towards the end of the show. But how did you see those antics? Well, because obviously you're a fan of many years, seen many gentlemen at this football club.
Yeah.
Were you for or against it?
Oh, I loved it, man. Yeah, you got to give it some. It takes me back, you know. Takes me back to the old days, you know, when it used to come in the north before they even had fences, you know. It used to come up there and we used to keep the ball for like 5 minutes, you know. It used to be... great fun, you know. Look, like Rich quite rightly says, you just got to take it for what it is, you know what I mean? If you're going to get all snotty about it like the Pompey players did, bloody good job, has done us work. And, you know what I mean? We've been here, there and everywhere, and we've seen it. Not just that kind of thing. We've seen like what we've seen even this season. We ain't going to harp all over that again. It's in the so-called intimidating atmospheres. And, yeah, and it does... Look, people have made a good call on if they're, you know, ifs and ands are pots and pans, as my dad used to say. And if they'd have equalised our 97 minutes, yeah, we might have walked out of the ground thinking, oh, God, I wish we hadn't done that. But they didn't, and it was funny. It was funny, you know. But I'll tell you what, I'd just like to give a good shout-out to those two ladies I met yesterday, because I didn't even find out... No, I didn't find out what their names were. But I'd just like to say, they went there to a meal in the Centre Spot restaurant, and they were two really, really nice people. And I'd just like to say, if they're watching the show, just to say how two nicer people they were. They were really lovely.
If they are watching the show, Colin rates you 7 out of 10.
well that's not a bad
not quite what I want to be on the platform, thank you very much, gentlemen, but we'll move on to the football. what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people always say it makes your weekend, and I say that as well, and it does. You know, when you have a win, it makes you feel good. When you have a decent win, it makes you feel brilliant. When you have a very good win, it makes you feel ecstatic. And I have felt like that all day today and all last evening. I got home, my wife had made a lovely shepherd's pie. And all in all, that was just a perfect day, you know. And I, like a lot of other people, I don't like to use the word hate because that's a horrible word. I don't really like Danny Cowley as a manager. And like my son tweeted yesterday, and I didn't know it until Andy had put it out. It was on the Ipswich website. You know, I'm just nice to get one over Mr. Cowley, you know, because he does come down with some pretty ordinary, horrible antics at times. And he does get people's goats up. And, you know, it's nice to get one over people like that every now and again. But I mean, we put ourselves in a decent position now, Gov and Rich, because, and everybody else, because we go into a game on Tuesday that nothing's a given. Rich is absolutely right, and you, Gov. But we would hope, with 95% or 98% hope, that we win that game on Tuesday night. And Plymouth, like me and Rich were saying this morning, Plymouth play Sheffield Wednesday. Great opportunity there. If that finished in a draw, which is a real, real good possibility, it will do like ours did. And, you know, Pompey are not playing again on Tuesday night. Like I said to Rich this morning, you know, we win that game on Tuesday night. Pompey don't play. All right, they're then 6 points behind us. All right, they've got the two games in hand. But like my dad used to say, it's better to have the points in the bag, 100%. And they then start doing the, although they've got the games in hand, I like to say to you, Gov, they then start doing the catching like we tried to do last year. And it gets to a point, it isn't obviously nowhere near that point at the moment, but it gets to that point, you know, you get Christmas come around and then you get into January, the FA Cup's about, well, FA Cup's about a lot earlier for us, I know. But, you know, you get the winter months come about and that catching up starts to get a little bit more difficult, Gov, doesn't it? You know, you know, so we can put that little bit of distance between us and that maybe that fourth or fifth going into the new year. We've got to say this, Gov, because everybody's on a high today and this is a time to say it. Richard, I saw his eyes. He looked at me yesterday and after the game yesterday and he said, "You said 19, didn't you, Cole?" I saw your eyes, Rich. And his eyes said to me, "Do you know what? I think you could be right." You know, we've got games coming up now. Nothing's given, but we should be getting a good haul of points here in the next six or seven games. And, you know, that'll take us like into November kind of time. And, you know, the sky's the limit for this club. I mean, we should not fear absolutely anybody in this league anymore. You know, because we've got that monkey off our backs now, and you know we've drawn with Bolton, we've drawn with Sheffield Wednesday away, we've drawn with Barnsley, we beat Pompey. All right, we lost to Plymouth in a game that we could have drawn or won. So I mean, let's just say to each other, you know, we're not doing too bad. In fact, we're doing very, very well, Mr. McKenna. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we leave, any final thoughts from you, Rich?
No, I think Colin's he's nailed it there. I know, look, nothing, when you look at the fixtures on paper, it does look like, I think Derby will be a tough game at home. You know, Paul Warne, he's got a good record against us, Colin, you know, from his days at Rotherham, but there shouldn't be anything to fear. You know, when teams are coming to Portman Road, we have to make it that fortress, Martin. And we have to put these teams to the sword. I think there was a comment in the chat a while back. Someone's going to get a hiding sooner or later from this team. When it all clicks, you know, it clicked yesterday for the first half. And then going back to John Jules quickly before we finish, I don't think it was only him the second half, Martin. I thought Harness and Chaplin sort of went out of the game as well a little bit.
Yeah.
But I still see Tyrese John-Jules as a sub, if I'm honest. Kieran probably thinks differently. I think Freddie, when he was the teams were announced yesterday, he could probably think I'm a little bit hard done by. You know, I scored against Arsenal. I scored against Plymouth last week, and now I'm back on the bench. But he's come on. He scored that goal. I'd expect him to start Tuesday. I would against Cambridge. Will there be any other changes? I don't think so. He might make the odd tweak here and there, but I wouldn't see nothing, no wholesale changes. But like I said, four players yesterday. Ladapo for his goal. George Edmondson, who's coming for a bit of criticism, which I think is pretty unfair, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Wes Burns yesterday, I thought he was back to not quite his best, somewhere near his best. And Leif Davis, he was my man in the match. And did you know, Martin, the two wing-backs yesterday, Davis and Wes Burns, they ran nearly 12k each in that game. So that shows that they get up and down that line. They're fit as fiddles. And he's the one for me at the minute, Leif Davis, that they need to keep fit. You know, he is key to what we're doing at the minute. And if he did get an injury at the minute, we haven't got Greg Lee. We're not going to have him for the next 2 months. We would really miss him, Colin. But he's proving every single day, and I think he's a fantastic little player.
I'll tell you what, Gov, can I just say one last thing? I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
We had over 20 or nearly, what was it, nearly 28,500 of that ground yesterday, and the actual official total attendance capacity in the ground now is only just over 29,600, I think it is now, since we've done the alterations. So that was only like 1,000 underneath the full house arse yesterday. Now, one thing I'd like to say to everybody, I know I always speak to everybody, I love speaking to my own fans. You was an absolute credit. I mean, taking away the fact that we was messing about with the ball, you was an absolute credit to yourselves yesterday, everybody, including myself. And I'll tell you what, it was bouncing in that ground yesterday, and I know, Rich knows, Gov knows, and everybody who's been for the last however many years knows that when that ground is getting towards full and when we're all together, we can make that as intimidating as anywhere in this country. Alex Ferguson said it once when famously Fabian Wilner scored. There was 23,000 in that ground that night, and Alex said it sounded like 35,000. That's what can happen at that ground. When people keep turning around and saying, you know, about us Suffolk people and what have you, and we can't do this and we can't do that, well, we bloody well can, and we'll keep it up and we'll do it. And we'll do it again and again and again until we get this football club where they bloody well should be. And the next game, when we play Cambridge, let's raise the roof again. And then when we play Derby, Lincoln and Derby, the pack out Portman Road, let's do it again. Let's just keep raising this roof and keep getting these points. And like I said to Wolfie yesterday, I'll tell you, mate, we're Suffolk through and through. We've got the club at heart. And I'll tell you, the more times I keep seeing Wolfie and Kieran come down there as animated as they were yesterday, the better. And I'll tell you, this club is only going one way, and that's upwards, and we will finish up. I will say it right now. I say it every week. This club will get promoted. This club will get promoted. And you must, everybody who goes in that ground, week in, week out, must keep it in their minds that that is where we're going. And we are the people who can make that happen by the fact that we get right behind that club every second of every minute of every game. We can help. We, like Wolfie and like Kieran says, and like a lot of players say, we can be the 12th man, and it helps. It helps. So on Tuesday night, them Cambridge fans, like Rich knows, they get behind their side when they get away from home. They'll bring 18 and 1900 and they'll be singing like hell. But I'll tell you what, so were Pompey yesterday. But I'll tell you, from what my seat in the North Stand, Matt will tell you the same, or anybody who's sitting in the North Stand, I can hardly hear them half the time because we was out singing them. But I couldn't hear. And Pompey are loud. They're loud away from home, but I couldn't hardly hear them. We can do this.
Just one thing to add. Matt Phillips said he much preferred it when we played Barrow and there was only six.
Well, no, quoting properly. He said, when talking about the crowd, please say for me, where were you against Barrow and Oldham? But Colin, very wise words, passionate words. We love that and we appreciate it. Hopefully see you Tuesday night. You look after yourself. We've got 125 watching on YouTube. Please hit that like button if that's all you do for the platform this afternoon. Hit the like button. If you're watching on Facebook, hit the like button and share across your timelines. If you want to go further, become a YouTube member, hit join or go to our Ko-Fi site on my fifth stander. But Rich, we're kind of on to Cambridge. We're live again tomorrow, 8:30, where we'll talk about Cambridge, look ahead to that one. But you're not worried about Cambridge, are you?
No, I'd just back Colin up there. We're alive as a football club. For too many years, mine, we were going down to Portman Road just out of habit, wasn't it? Yeah. It was out of habit. You would go and you had a season ticket. Like when my dad used to go, we'd say, why are we going? It was because you had a season ticket and you thought that you just had to go. And there was times under McCarthy. I'll admit, I didn't go under Mick. Some of them night games, you know, when they lost a hole when he'd done his speech on the pitch. I wasn't there that night. I was bored. Totally and utterly bored, Martin.
Yeah.
we've got our club back, and the first step is getting out of this league first, and then see what happens after that. But it's imperative that come May that we're sitting in the top two, you know, and we can have a party and do whatever throughout the summer. But the club's back, the club's alive, and you just got to thank the three lines. You know, they've come in and they've just breathed life back into Ipswich, the county, the fans. And you look yesterday, Martin, how many young, I think they said on, I think it was after time, 60 first-time fans there. You know, kids who are coming now and they'll want to come back.
They will.
And that's what we want as a football club.
Yeah, we're alive again and we're certainly up and running, as it were, and on the path you should hope to good things. But we're live again tomorrow, 8:30. This has been Talking Town. That is The Cruncher, always delivering the hard truth, whether you want it or not. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep the conversation going across social media, but of course on the Discord, if you're a member of Talking Town, you can get access to that. But until then...
Stephen Parry has got his camera working. I'll see you in the chat.
So we'll see him tomorrow at 8:30, but with love, with care.
And please! You make me smile.